Okay, everyone got the microphones that I sent? I sent them out in the beginning of the week. I sent them out like Sunday or Monday.
But that is a sheet so fine.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's got it. I need mean, he's got it. Okay, so I wanted to go back to the last point that we had done at the end last time, because there was much more to see with it. If you remember, that was when we reached the point where I said, well, there are 10 minutes left, might as well get started with this rather than waste the 10 minutes, but still there's more to be said within it. So the first point that we had done after we defined what gelatin is, and you all saw, I hope, my follow-up email where my research shows that, yes, gelatin is produced from bone marrow as well. But we brought two reasons to prohibit the gelatin, and as I said then, it was kind of we're working backwards. Really, you need to know the reasons to permit in order to understand more the reasons why you would prohibit. But for various reasons, I decided to go with this order. The first reason to prohibit is that it's a davar hamami. The gelatin gives the texture to whatever product it's put into, and therefore it cannot be batel in the mixture, even if it is less than 1 in 60. That was one potential argument. We discussed the fact that even if it's mamid, it doesn't contribute taste, and therefore it could still theoretically be nullified. We rejected that idea because it's a mamid from iser, it's coming from something that is prohibited, and therefore even if it doesn't contribute taste, nonetheless it's still not batel. And then we had the point of the malamid lahoil, who said it may not be a mamid at all, because it's not hardening something, it's just thickening it. And that's not quite the same thing. And Rav Baruch had his added note on what the point of a ma'amid is as an additional piece. The second reason to prohibit is to say that even if you'll tell me it's not really food because of what they do and they process the bones, which we're going to talk more about today, I hope, even still, by deciding to eat it, you are doing what's called achshaveh. You are rendering it food. And we discussed the source of the idea of achshaveh from the Gemara in Pesachim, the Ben Chameis, and Hecha Kodem Zmano. We talked about whether that should apply to gelatin, and we had Rav Aaron Cutler saying yes, because you put it in the food intentionally, so you show you recognize it as food. And then you had the Achiezer, who was quoted approvingly by Rav Avadia, saying that it's not food. You make it into powder that you're going to use to congeal something. That's not called turning it into food. And then that brought us to the first reason to permit, and that's where we pick up. Reason to permit number one is that these are only bones and hides that are you're using to make the gelatin, and that's not called part of the nevela in the first place. It's not called nevela. It's called something else, bones and hides. Our basis for that begins with a Mishnah in Chulin, which I brought in source Aleph, which says, Ha'or v'harote v'akipa v'ha'olol v'atzamos v'agidin k'naim t'lafayim, right? The hide among those items, as well as the bones, and these random other items that are there, the hooves, the horns, and so on, they all combine with the flesh to communicate tumas ochlin, to communicate the tumah of food. However, below tumas nevelos, but not to communicate the tumah of nevelos. They're not considered to be part of the nevela. Why do they combine for tumas ochlin? So the Bartanura says that they will combine with food to make tumas ochlin, but they won't be food on their own. They're sort of along for the ride, along with food. How do we know this? Where did this come from? So it's the Gemara in Chulin Ayin Zayin. I brought you in source base. Vanogeya b'niv lasa, if you touch the nevela, you are tame. So he says, b'niv lasa, v'lo ba'or, lo ba'atzamos, lo ba'gidin, lo ba'karnayim, lo ba'tlafayim. Touching these other elements does not make you tame. That's as far as tumah is concerned. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, in his letter on this to the Tzitz Eliezer, which is brought in the beginning of Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Dalet, he says it's not just regarding tumah. It's also regarding haktara, burning the pieces of a carbon on the mizbeach. If you take a look at source Gimel, I brought it for you there from the Gemara in Tzvachim, where we say, Hatsemer shemereshei kvasim, the wool on the heads of lambs, v'seir shemizekant yashim, the hair on the goat's beard, v'atzamos gidim karnayim tlafayim, these other items as well, which includes bones and hooves, and all that other fun stuff. He says, Bizman she mechubarim ye'olu, where they are joined to the flesh of the carbon, So they go up on the Mizbeach, because the Pasuk says, V'kirak o'enes hakol, put the whole thing on the Mizbeach, that includes these things. But Pershu, once they are separate from the meat of the korban, lo ye'olu, they don't get put up on the Mizbeach. Shnemer, as the Pasuk says, V'asisa alosecha basar v'hadam. It's the basar and dam that go on the Mizbeach, these don't. So that's another way in which Nevela does not include bones. There it doesn't specify hides as well, but they did hefshet. They stripped the hide off of the animal anyway, so it wasn't relevant. Last, and most relevant for us, is the Sifra in source Dalet. The Sifra in Parsha Shmini, when the Pasuk says, Mi Bisaram, I added in Lo Sochelu, this is a Pasuk that's talking about not to eat, it says, Mi Bisaram, Veloman Ha'atzamos, Veloman Agidim, Veloman Slafayim Shalahem. This prohibition of don't eat from their flesh, it's talking about flesh of an Nevela, does not apply to the bones, it doesn't apply to the sinews, it doesn't apply to the hooves. Now, it didn't mention the hide. It only mentioned the bones. But nonetheless, we're going to come back to hides. The point is that he says explicitly, bones don't count as part of a nevela. Clear? Okay. And indeed, we get the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Dalet Yuches, we saw this last time in source Hay. Ha'ochel mi nevela utrefa, if you eat from a nevela, you eat from a trefa, o mi behema v'chaya hatmeim, non-kosher animals, min ha'or, min ha'atzamas, min ha'gidin, min ha'karnayim, min ha'tzlafayim, min ha'tzipornayim, shal oth, min mekom ha'shem v'atzveitz v'sham ha'dam. If you eat from the bones, the sinews, the horns, the hooves, the fingernails, the claws of a bird, from the places where it would bleed if you were to cut it, or from the placenta, aval pishu asur, hareze potter. Granted, you're not allowed to eat from it. You're exempt from liability, because these are not suitable for eating. Now, technically, he didn't say it's not part of an avela, right? He said it's not suitable for eating. That sounds different. So Rav Abramsky, in his tshuva, discusses whether the issue is inedibility or due to not being part of the nevela. The Rambam here seems to say that it's because it's inedible. However, he knows that the Rambam in Machalos Asuros Dalet, I'm sorry, Yudches Hey, which I was going to bring on here, but I see I didn't, actually says something different. He's talking about the shilia, right, the placenta, and he says that you're not chayav because ain't a basar, because it's not flesh. Which sounds like it's not part of the nevela. It sounds like that's what he's saying. But if the Rambam indeed is siding with the Sifra to say that bones and hide, these things are not part of the nevela, then why does he say that it's usher to eat them? Right? You should pick a side. So we mentioned last time that Rav Sternbuch says that some say it's a d'oraisa, although he doesn't say whom. Last time I mentioned Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I wrote it on your sheet in source Vav, that he says that that perhaps it's a d'oraisa from some limud. He says v'isur gelatin. Part of the reason to bring Rav Moshe is just it's really fun to see the way he spells gelatin. The others actually do dalet zayin shin, which is a machlokas regarding suvos, you know, about whether a G is a dalet zayin or is a dalet zayin shin. I got married in Atlanta, Georgia. You couldn't read the word Georgia unless you knew in advance that's what you were looking at. But in any case, the iser gelatin, hu rak safek iser, or hu rak iser midirabanan. He says gelatin is either a doubtful iser, or if it's a dirabanan, shalab dinevela leka al or vatsamos. Because the iser nevela doesn't apply to hides and bones. Nu, why did the Rambam say aser? V'rafsha Rambam kasa peregdalin machalas asiros halacha yirches, aho pishu asa reza patur. Right? The Rambam does say that. V'lo yadua lanu ha'isr im hu mid de'oraisa me'ez elimud ach lo li'isr lav. Oh, shu isr mid de'rabanan. He says, we don't know what the nature of this isr is. Is it a de'oraisa from some limud? Is it a de'rabanan? Ve'in kanamakum laharich bazeh. He says, this isn't where we're going to go on at length. I don't know where he does go on at length about it. Here he does not. Josh.
What would be the reason to say you could eat it? An animal, at what point would it come to the shkita? Even if you shkita is a matri, that's a matri given, and there's no shkita here, why would you ever think you would be able to eat the animal?
Oh, let's view this as non-shechted? As unshechted meat?
Well, you can never eat it when it's an animal. It's not shechted, and what would never give you the right to eat any part of the animal?
Because who says I need shkita for this part of the animal?
Well, more than that, Ram uses a lashon specifically, you know, basa. So it doesn't even necessarily eat a
But he uses in a basa regarding the shilia. Here he said in a roi la'achila, which is different.
You really skin off the amulet, but you didn't.
Right, so if I took the view that in a roi la'achila means this isn't called eating, then I've solved my problem. It doesn't need shchita if I'm not eating it. All I'm getting is some kind of hana. And if I take the view that this actually isn't considered to be part of the animal, then I'm also not liable for the fact that it's missing shchita. Right? It has to be part of the animal and called achila in order for me to acquire shchita. It's odd, because it's not the way we think of things. But I think that's the truth. Yeah. In source Zion, I bring you the Chuas on Hagos that we got into a little bit last time, so this time I actually brought it on the sheet, about Chatzi Shir. He says, V'nero lefarish od divrei ha'osrim. Right, Rav Shrumbach says, it appears that you could explain further the words of those who prohibit, that kamoshi yesh din chatzi shir bekamut, kach yesh chatzi shir be'echut. You could say that just like there's an issue of liability for eating a partial shir quantity-wise, so too quality. Uba'atzamos ein echus ha'iser kebasar. Rak benekudos misuyamos levad. He says, when you're dealing with the bones, parts of the bone are actually edible and parts are not. Now, that's different from saying chatzi shir in quality. That almost sounds like he's going towards chatzi shir in quantity, saying there are little bits of the bone here and there that are edible, and we're going to combine them. V'lachein dom ele iser chatzi shir. And that's why the Rambam says that it's also mid the oraisa, just no malchus. And it doesn't have the moisture of flesh to be able to be polite. We talk about that with Tarovis as a separate point. I'm not going to go further with it because the further part is not immediately germane for what we're doing now. It becomes relevant later. But the point is this chatzi shir idea. The Achiezer of Chaim Ozer says, I will tell you why the Rambam says it's still usher to eat. And this becomes an important point. He says it's talking about soft bones. The Rambam is talking specifically about the bones that in fact are edible, and those are the ones that he's saying it's usher for you to eat. These are the ones that the Gemara in Chulin Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis is going to say are subject to Tumas Ochlin, the Mishnah that we saw. Sorry. Yeah, he's suggesting that yes. Yeah. Now, you know what? Hold the thought for a minute, because we're going to come back to this question just in a slightly different form. Gimel Lamed Gimel. Sorry? No, it is Shuba. This is his big gelatin Shuba. Oh, on Daf Makarot? No, I didn't bring it on Daf Makarot. Rav Abramsky also says the same thing, and he points to Yerushalmi and Trumos that we're going to discuss later on, which says that soft bones are said to have taste.
Now, is he saying that the ones we use are hard, so it's all good?
That's probably where he's going to go with it, but then he's only going to permit the hard bones. Yeah. Right, so you're talking about mamish eating bones. This goes back to the point about how you generate your gelatin. You're cooking bones, and the moisture from the bone itself, the collagen protein that you have as part of the connective tissue, which is found in the marrow, but it's also found at the junctures between the bones. It's you know, all of that is what's dissolving when you cook it, and then thickening to become gelatin. So the marrow is a piece of this, but yes, the Achiezer would say the marrow is a problem. We're going to come back to that. I mean, all of this is going to come back in a moment. So just hold the thought, but that's what he would say. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch Matzata.
No, I think that's
yeah. The Shulchan Aruch seems to indeed rule. The bones are not part of the Nevela. It's what I brought in source Ches. You have a piece of nevela which has flesh, which has bone. Okay, so it's flesh and bone. And nafla kederas heter, it falls into a pot that includes mutter food. So atzmos ha'iser mitstarfim im ha'heter levatel ha'iser. So the calculation of being levatel ha'iser works this way. You calculate the percentage that is occupied by the mutter stuff, and you occupy the percent, you calculate the percentage occupied by the usur bones, and those combine to outweigh, potentially, to nullify the usur flesh. So I am viewing the usur bones as being on the mutter side when I do my calculation of the tarovis. And he says, of course, I don't even need to tell you that the mutter bones combine with the mutter flesh. That's obvious. That's the Shulchan Aruch's position. So he sounds like, I stress sounds like, because we have to look at this more closely, but he sounds like he's saying that the usur bones don't count as usur. They go on the mutter side of the equation. Got it? Is that, and that's fairly straightforward that he said that. The Rama says, V'yesh machmirim shalo letzarif asmos ha'isar im ha'heter levadel. He says, some are strict, and they say, we're not going to count the usur bones along with the heter to cancel it out. In other words, we're not going to do what he is doing. Quoting this from the Urzurva. U'makom hefsid, yesh lismoch amakilin umatirin. But in a case of loss, you can rely on those who are lenient, kichein ikur. Because really, that's what's correct. That's the truth. We may have a chumra. We don't like doing this. But honestly, the bones are not part of the nevela. That's the position of the Shulchan Aruch. So that is the first reason that's offered to permit. These are not part of the body. Just look at the Shulchan Aruch regarding Ta'arovas. Look at that Rambam that we saw before. Look at the Sifra. They're not part of the body. However, we have a problem. Some will prohibit eating the bones for two reasons. Number one is the shach. And the shach goes back to the soft bone, hard bone distinction. If you take a look, I brought it on source tests. Atzmos ha'isr. Ulefia niyaz daiti nira b'shas v'yirushalmi kedas hara'a b'sefer bedek habayis v'haran perakid anasha da'atzamos harakos mitstarfim le'isr mibnei moach shebohen. He says, it appears to me that in fact, the soft bones are not going to go in on the mutter side. The soft bones are going to go on the usur side, named moach shebahen, because of the moach in them. Moach is marrow. Right? When we use the term moach for brains, it's because the brains inside the skull look a lot like the spongy red material that you have in the bones. It's just, moach means the soft material. Moach doesn't mean brains. Although Rebbe has told me that you should be very careful about using phrases like this, the moach hayotze and all that in modern Hebrew. What was the phrase I should be careful not to use? But moach really it just refers to soft material inside. So he says the marrow inside the bones is mitzdarev. Umachmas rakusa, and because of their softness, sheyetse lachlus, where the moisture will emerge from it. So in other words, if you have this tarovis, you have this mixture with soft bones, then there is moisture involved, and that will count for the iser side. Avalatzamos yivashim, but dry bones, oklipo shabetsim, or eggshells, v'kiai gavna, similar things. Av osin shal iser mitstarfim levatele iser. Even the osir ones will combine with the heter. That he agrees with. The Ram that he's quoting, I brought you here in Source Yud. You can see it there. He says, "Va'af lafi gemara dilan efshar lomer kain dilamanda amar b'shishim haynu taima dilo mitzdarfi atzamos shebizrawa leheter lafi shehein atzman osrim mipnei moach shebahen umachmas rakusan sheyetz lemehen lachos." This is what the Shach is quoting from the Ram. He says, when you're dealing with the soft bones, the bones with marrow, the bones with moisture, those are going to be on the iser side. Aval atzamos yivashim uklipan she'enan osrin shav ozen shel iser malan es haheter. Efshar shav ozen shel iser malan es haheter. He says, when you're dealing with the hard bones, yeah, then I can agree with you. So the Ran has it. Frankly, Rashi has it also. And if you take a look at Source Yud Aleph is the Gemara in Chulin, which is really the Mishnah in Chulin that you saw in Source Aleph. It's the same Mishnah, I just brought it again. About the different parts of the animal that combine for Tumas Ochlin, but don't combine for Tumas Develos. So Rashi there writes on the Atzamos, Vatzamos sheyesh bahen malach. It's the bones that have marrow. Vu ochel, that's food. Etzim shomerlo, and the bone is just serving the food, protecting the malach that's inside. Lefichach mitzdarik imo, therefore they combine. So the upshot of what we're saying is, and the Achiezer notes this as well, he notes it himself in his tshuva, that when we say bones aren't food, we only mean hard bones, not soft bones. So there will be a limitation on this heter. But further, not everybody agrees with this. Yes?
According to the shot, so if you turn hard bones into soft bones, like let's say gelatin, would that be permalashin? Or, he says that the hard bones aren't, that they count as in the heter.
Yeah.
Position, but if you turn the hard bones into soft bones,
Well, no, the idea is that because it was a hard bone, as far as we were concerned, it had no moisture to it when it was in the animal, it can't become part of the nevela due to our processing later. It wasn't part of the nevela.
So either is or isn't.
Yeah. This isn't an edibility. It's important to understand. This isn't the statement of the substance in front of me is not edible. That's going to be a separate discussion. Where I take something that was edible to render it inedible, whatever. That's a separate piece. Right now we're saying, because it wasn't edible but it was part of the animal, it's not called nevela. That's the idea.
Is that a
particular distinction? Hard bone, soft bone?
Yes.
Different bones within the animal itself.
Okay.
Yeah. So for example, you remember the discussion that we had last week, we certainly had it in the Sherry Cast discussion, where we gave the origin of Bidl Bashishim. And we said the origin of the whole concept, or at least the way it's mentioned in the Gemara, is the ram. When they cook the ram of the Nazir, that's his shlamim, and they cook it together with the zroah that's going to go to the Kohen, but the rest of it is going to be for them to eat. So the question is, why doesn't the taste of the zroah infect everything else? And the answer is, it's 1/60. So one of the questions that arises is, you calculate the bones and the flesh as part of that discussion there in the Gemara, and they make the point there that the bone actually does count. That bone that's in the El Nazir does count, the bone that's in the Zroah, because that's a soft bone. So even within the same animal, there will be bones that are soft bones and bones that are hard bones. Yes?
Now, when we make the distinction between soft bones and hard bones, when they actually make gelatin, do they grind out the bones with the marrow? Meaning, is it what defines a soft bone the fact that it has marrow in it? But if I said take a soft bone and clean it out, would it then be considered a hard bone?
Yes, that's correct. As long as the marrow is inside, that's the emphasis of ma'ah shabahen. Or if you had a bone that substantively was softer and more edible. For example, I'm guessing this because I've never had a raw salmon, but a hard salmon, right? But a salmon bone, when you get like canned salmon, is entirely chewable. Yeah, a bone like that. Now, I don't know if that's because of any cooking process that goes on earlier, or if you had a raw fish, you could actually chew it. But I'm thinking of bones like that as being soft bones. Yeah.
So you think theoretically, if you have a soft bone, if we're only really careful with the marrow, then even part of the soft bone should be able to be used to vittle.
We also do care about the soft bone.
So then even if you extract the marrow, then how can that affect?
Only if it was a hard bone, and the only thing that was soft about it was the marrow, would extraction work? But if it was a soft bone to begin with, in other words, there are two different elements of softness. One, it has something inside called marrow that is edible, and that's good enough to mess up the bone for me. Your extraction, get all the marrow out, then we have something to discuss. Separate from that is the concept of a soft bone. With marrow, without marrow, if you have a bone that is chewable, that's a soft bone. Or a bone that has moisture that it exudes, that's a soft bone.
Is that all before cooking?
Yes. When it's part of the animal.
When it's after cooking, everything could be soft.
Hypothetically, yeah. But if we will not restore it to being part of the nevela as a function of that. Because it wasn't when it was in the animal. There are a few objections to this idea that the heter is for soft, that the heter is only for hard bones. First of all, Rav Baruch noted that when we read the Rambam, and he said that you're not allowed to eat it, but if you eat it, you're potter. The Rambam said it's not roi la'achila. So how can you tell me that the Rambam was talking about soft bones? He said it's not suitable for eating. That should be the hard bones. That's number one. Number two.
The module then, the simple nine.
I don't know. I haven't tried to eat bird claws.
But jaws made of gas.
Well, that's cooked. We're talking about its status when it's not cooked. I don't think they're eating the raw calf's hoofs. I could be wrong. But that's one catch. Second catch. I'm sorry. There are two catches. The third point I was going to make is separate. But the second catch is brought by Rav Avadya, who rejects the whole distinction. He says the Shach distinction is not correct because look at the language in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at Sfas Yud Gimel on your sheets. Rav Avadya says umistimas hatur umarana Shulchan Aruch, let alone the Rambam, muchach she'ein hevdel bein atzamas kashim latzamas rakim. If you want to make a distinction like this, you have to say something. The Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, as well as the Rambam, just said bones. La'olam atzmos ha'isur mitzdarfim ma'hetel la'batel ha'isur. Right? He didn't say anything about which ones are hard or soft. If he meant that there was an Isser and Atzamas Rakim and soft bones, he should have said so. So he does not accept the distinction drawn by the Shach. Yes, Rav Avadya is making. Yeah. No. Because all you have is a source that says bones mutter. You don't have a story saying bones usser. So if I have only a source that says bones mutter and it doesn't distinguish, my default assumption is all bones. I see no reason to assume la'achmir. The Achiezer says that the Shach is not even relevant anyway. He says the Shach isn't relevant anyway because, and this we're going to get to next, he says we fully dry out the bones. And because we fully dry them out, therefore it won't be relevant.
Okay,
yeah. Right, and that's the next piece. So we're not going there yet. Just note the Achiezer doesn't think this is a problem anyway. He says I'm not particularly worried about this. The Tshuvos on Hagos with Sternbach gives a separate reason for prohibiting the bones, and I would have expected you to jump on this one already from the beginning. Take a look at what he has in Source Yudalit. He says, "Umashein ha'tzamos hayveshim osrim b'ta'arovos hayinu b'nei she'einun poldin k'dei plita." He says the reason why Shulchan Aruch says that in a mixture your bones are not going to prohibit the mixture is because they aren't maflit; they don't produce any moisture, any taste.
Yeah. Yeah.
His argument is that it is not about eating them. No one in the Shulchan Aruch is saying you can eat them. It's only in terms of permitting the rest of the mixture.
Yeah, but if you can permit and you rely on counting the Atzmot Isu with the Heter,
yeah,
that means that you believe that the Atzmot Isu themselves are not an Isu.
That they're not an Isur because they won't infect anything else with Isur.
Yeah, but
you're looking at it backwards. Right.
Shel Heter. Yes.
Right. Yes. Let me do it differently. Okay. Let's say you had 58 olive-sized amounts of heter. Okay. I'm not going to play the 61 game. I had 59 olives of heter, one olive of Isur, and an olive of plastic. The olive of plastic is my Atzmot Isur.
No, that would be Asur. If that would be the case, that would be Asur.
No, he's saying no. That's the point. The olives of plastic count in order to be Mevatel, the Isur. That's explicitly what he's saying. I was wondering about that, so why don't we count the pot? In a Chanani, but that's exactly what he says. Look at his lashon. And I brought you one. Okay, go ahead. You've got it on the Bar Ilan. But it's not going to end anything. Yeah, you do. The new one has it. It's like, go to the online version. It's on there. But that's what he says. That's his argument. So the question still remains. We've now said the following, right? We've said that bones and hides may not be part of the body based on the Sifra. That may be the basis for the Rambam who says that you're potter. if you eat the bones and the hide. We had this question of, well, then why does the Rambam say not to eat them? Right? The Rambam didn't say mutter, he said usser, he just said pater. And we gave various answers to that. And we said the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, based on his statement on Taharoves, seems to say that the bones are entirely mutter. Well, if that's true, what does the Shulchan Aruch do with the Rambam? Right? The Rambam didn't say mutter. So what am I supposed to do with this? So the answer is brought by Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya quotes to the Taras Habayis, which I brought here in Source Tesvav, who says, "Atzamos uklipin shall iser mitstarfen imaheter kerav huna, vein zavach lomar klipin vatzamos shall hetter shall mitstarfen imaheter." He says explicitly, without any hesitation, that the bones are going to combine. The bones of the iser are going to combine with the hetter. So Rav Avadya says, you know what? Not everyone has to agree with the Rambam. The Rashba is a Rishon too. And the Shulchan Aruch is choosing to follow the Rashba and the Ran against the Rambam. Rav Avadya is in Yaviyah Omer Ches Yeredeya Yud Aleph, specifically Sivka and Tesvav. Siv Tesvav. I mean, sorry, Siv Vav, not Tesvav, Vav.
Siv Vav. The same one as you quoted before.
The same one that I quoted before, correct. So Rav Avadya says, the Shulchan Aruch is simply against the Rambam. And therefore, to apply this for us, if I have hard bones that I use to make the gelatin, and someone's going to say, well, wait a minute, the Rambam still says usur, that's okay. I have the Rashba and the Ran and the Shulchan Aruch on my side. That's good enough for me. That's Rav Avadya's position. This, yeah?
Is it clear that because they're starting to get all that, what
they're about to do? Right, so that was my question that I just mentioned from the... Right, if you take the view that he was talking just about Taharovis and that he wouldn't actually permit Achila, then there's nothing to discuss from that Rashba. That's correct. But Rav Avadya explicitly disregards that. He views this as being about Achila as well. Once the Ran makes that distinction, like the Ra'a also. Right? If you look at who the Shach quoted there, the Shach gave you a few Rishonim who are all saying Atzamos Rakos. Right? He gave you the Ra'a. He believes that you see it in the Rishalmi as well, which you still have to come back to.
But then everybody wants to use the Ra'a anyway.
Well, he does. Rav Avadya is not dealing with the hard bone soft bone distinction because he rejects the whole. You mean because he rejects the Shach's distinction, but he's using the Ran insofar as the Ran is willing to say that the bones are mitzdarif. Yes, that's correct. That is correct. It's an interesting point. Okay.
So the bones of the stars has that help us? He's saying that which bones of the stars? The soft bones?
The all bones. And Rav Avadya is classically the big matir. I mean, the Achiezer was first.
Right now, as a little child, I'm not dealing with the stars, not stars, we just have bones.
Sorry?
We don't need to be the last bones, we're only dealing with bones.
Correct. But that's exactly the point. They are saying that which the Shulchan Aruch says regarding being mitzdarif in the Taharoves is also saying that it's mutar ba'achila. Right, that's what Josh asked about also. That's correct. The second reason to be matir is that this stuff gets dried out completely in the process. They even clean it with acid and phosphorus and all this stuff. After which, yes, it's going in your food. And you're worried about like GMO, right? So this stuff is all dried out. Is it therefore nifsal me'achilas adam or nifsal me'achilas kelev, and therefore insignificant? That's the question. Like Diane, we start off with the Gemara of Avodah Zarah that I brought you in Source Tezayin. They quote you the pasuk, lo sochlu chol nevela, lagera shebesharecha, right? Don't eat nevela, lagera shebesharecha, titana ba'achal, ba'achala, give it to the ger toshav, it's not a ger set, give it to a ger toshav, and he will eat it, give it to a nochri, sell it to a nochri, I should say. So they learn from here, kol haru'uya lager, sorry. Yeah, I know. But it's not germane for us. The kolar ruya lager kriya nevela, shein ruya lager eina kriya nevela. It's only called nevela if it's something that a ger toshav is going to eat. If it's not edible, then it's not called nevela at all. That's the first position there. Rabbi Meir, what will Rabbi Meir do there? Because Rabbi Meir is the one who says Rabbi Meir says, you have that pasuk, but hahula ma'ude srucha meikara, that's only there to exclude the case in which it was rotten in the first place. Meaning, not where you have a nevela that sits for a couple of days and then becomes gross. Then it's still called nevela. But if, when the animal was still alive, there was something wrong, it was deteriorated from before the shechita, well, not shechita, but before the animal died, that's what's called not nevela. You follow? That's Rabbi Meir's position. Whereas, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Shimon, what will Rabbi Shimon say? Srucha meikara lo tzricha meyuta. Afra be'almo. He says, no, if it was disgusting when it was still part of the live animal, I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me it's not nevela, it's dirt. I need the pasuk to tell me that if you have an avela, the cow died, and now the meat is there, and then the meat rots, even that is not called nevela. So if I take something that is part of the nevela, and then I make it deteriorate with the processing like I do for gelatin, Rabbi Shimon will say, that's no longer called nevela. You follow? That's the idea of that has become repellent. So it's a machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir will say no. If it was a valid, so to speak, if it was an edible nevela at some point, it can't lose its status. And Rabbi Shimon will say, yes, it can lose its status. Well, who do I follow in a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, says, when you have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, teku. We don't have, the Gemara gives you all sorts of rules for how to resolve various machlokos. It doesn't have an answer regarding Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Member of the base. You'll see it quoted momentarily. Sorry, what would you call?
I think that's no longer considered
Nevela. Srucha. Heter. Yeah. Take a look at Source Yud Zayin with the Tshuva of Rav Ovadia. Rav Ovadia, I had the piece before it. He deals with the Noda Yehuda's Tshuva. The Noda Yehuda's Tshuva was fish bladder that was actually being used. Bladder from a non-kosher fish that was used, I think, if I remember correctly, as a clarifying agent in something. In wine, maybe. I think it was a clarifying agent in wine. This non-kosher fish's bladder. No odder than, you know, adding lard to olive oil, right? As a congealing agent. Just chemistry. So, in dealing with this, he says, U'plukta Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon Ein lanu hechreya halacha kedivrei mi. Okay, this is the quote from the Noda Yehuda. The Noda Yehuda says, when you have Machlokes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, we don't know whom to follow. Ki be'erevin Isa, ibayelahu, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, ma'i v'koi b'teku. That's the Gemara in Erevin. In Erevin, they ask, so who do we follow? And they end up saying, teku. But then he says, this is still the Noda Yehuda talking. He says, Bani Tama. He says, I am shocked al Rabbeinu Shmuel HaNagid b'Mavoa Talmud Shalom. Rabbeinu Shmuel HaNagid is the author, we think, here, of the Mavoa Talmud, the introduction to the Gemara, that you will find printed, I think this is, he's referring to the same one, printed in the standard Vilna Shas in the Gemara in Brachos. The question is who actually wrote, fine, but he's quoting it as Rabbeinu Shmuel HaNagid. And he says, I'm really surprised at him. Right, Shmuel HaNagid is a big Talmud Chacham, not to mention minister of war for Spain. In the 11th century. He may not have written this either, fine. But he wrote, whoever he is, wrote, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Alachak Rabbi Shimon, Vu Negeda Sugya de Erevin. How could he write in Mavoa Talmud that we follow Rabbi Shimon when Erevin said Teku? V'achein, however, B'sefer Alichos Olam Krasav, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Alachak Gedevri Amachmir, whichever one is stricter, which will leave you with Rabbi Meir. Ulefi Zev, Plug Dazud, Nevela Srucha, Roy Lifsak, Rabbi Meir, Shua Machmir. So you should prohibit the fish bladder. That's the Noda Yehuda's position. Ad kan tochen dvarav. That's the or tamtzis dvarav. That's the piece from him. But then Rav Avadia says, I'm sorry, but you have to learn Yerushalmi. Ulam, like the world will start davyomi shkalim. They'll learn Yerushalmi on Sunday. For those who enjoyed my email from yesterday about learning Yerushalmi, you have added reason now to relearn it from Rav Abadi. He says, Ulam Yerushalmi Shvius Isa, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Halachik Rabbi Shimon. The Yerushalmi in Shvius says it. We follow Rabbi Shimon. V'chein hu Yerushalmi in Berkimlin Trumos, and he says, Marana Kesef Mishnah Kasa, the Kesef Mishnah wrote, T'bayud lo ifshet av a Talmudidon, the ifshet av Yerushalmi, naktina kipashtus of Yerushalmi. If we have something which isn't resolved in the Bavli, like Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Shimon, and then the Yerushalmi gives you a psak, as it does on this, then we simply take the reading of the Yerushalmi. The reading of the Yerushalmi is that we follow Rabbi Meir, we follow Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Meir. So therefore, applying that in our discussion, Rabbi Shimon says that a nevela can become an un-nevela once it is no longer edible. That's Rav Avadia's position. Rav Avadia, Kedarko Bakodesh, does bring you the opposition to this approach also, and he's got 20 sperm on one side and 21 sperm on the other side. But this is his, he says, Yesh Lidchos. And the truth of the matter is that many Rishonim do indeed side with Rabbi Shimon in this discussion. I brought you source Yudchas, the Rashba in Taras Abayas. Rabbi Shimon, my time, what is Rabbi Shimon's reason for saying that the Nevela Srucha, it can become an un-Nevela? Disanya, because we have a Braisa that says the following. Lo sochlu chol Nevela. Right, the Pasuk says, Nevela Ruyelager, Kruya Nevela, Shein Ruyelager, Eina Kruya Nevela. That's Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Meir, what will he say? Rabbi Meir, Hahi Nevela Mibayale Lamaute Saruch Meikara. To which Rabbi Shimon will say, Rabbi Shimon, Srucha Meikara, Lot Zricha Meyuta, because Afra Be'almahu. Exactly what we just saw in our Gemara. But then the Taras Abayas continues. The Kaima Lunki Rabbi Shimon, we follow Rabbi Shimon. Why? Do Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Hachi Islahu, all these Amorim agree with him. Rav Gananavi Amar, Rabbi Divrei Kulam Nilmod, No Saint Tam Levgam Mutter. That's what we get from all of them. Vaod, the Behed Yamarav, Amarav Ahasam, Yochasan, No Saint Tam Levgam Mutter. So he says that we are indeed going to say that this, that we follow Rabbi Shimon on this. And the Ran on that Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Samachayinu and Beisam, Chesabat Aleph, says the same. And the Magid Mishnah sees it also in the Rambam. If you take a look at Source Yates, Magid Mishnah writes, Umashakasav Rabbeinu Afilu Sarcha Habriya. I added in brackets that you get malkos for eating it if it becomes disgusting. When the Rambam says that if you have a bria, that is treif, and it becomes disgusting, you still can't eat it, he's talking about where it's not that disgusting yet. It's still edible. Avalim sarcha kolkach, but if it's really that disgusting, kfar bia rabbeinu perikar basar in machalas asiros, shemisha achal ha'okel ha'asar achar she'isriach, that if you eat prohibited food after it becomes disgusting, behiv ish, and it's become repellent, it becomes smelly, ubatal me'ochel adam, and now it's not food, ha'reiz epater. V'chein hu da'alachak rabbi shimon da'amar nevela sh'nevela l'gir lo shema nevela ukmo she'iz bar sham. It's not called nevela anymore. Against the note of Yehuda's read of that Rambam, but yes.
Srucha Meikara means the second diet.
Srucha Meikara means, no, while the animal was still alive. It was like it had gangrene or something. The thing became disgusting. It had to be disgusting before it became Nevela. When the animal was alive, it wasn't Nevela, it was Eber Menachai. Which is its own discussion. But that's the idea here. And based on that, we look at the Rambam in Source Chaf. Dealing with the abomasum, the fourth stomach of the cow, also known as a keva. Or hakeva, the hide of the abomasum. Lifamim molchen oso miyavshin oso. Sometimes they salt it and dry it out. Vinasaka eats and it becomes like wood. Umalam oso chalav, and then they fill it with milk. Mutter. Why? Once it's dried out, it's just like wood. It has none of the moisture of flesh. What happens is the Shulchan Aruch writes that if milk is left in the abomasum of a shchuta, or for a day, or it's salted in there, then you're not allowed to add milk to be ma'amid in the milk that's in the abomasum. In other words, you shechted the animal had drunk milk, there's milk sitting in the stomach. Once you leave that milk in there for a day, you're not allowed to add more milk to be ma'amid in the stomach. That's its own case. The Rama then makes this comment, saying that the hide of the of this stomach, if it's salted and dried out to be like wood, is going to be fine. And the Shach writes on that in Sifkat Lamigimel, its source Chaf Aleph, he says, or akeva lefamim dot dot dot. It should say or, not ode. I don't know what that's about. Vehu hadin, it's OCR obviously, but vehu hadin shaar b'nei me'ayim kishemayavshin osam ad shenasu ke'eitz. The same thing is true, not just for the keva. It's not unique to the keva. Any other of the innards of the animal, you dry it out, it becomes like wood, then it's not going to be, it's not going to be treif anymore. Now it's going to be fine. There, pretend the second half of that shach isn't there for a moment. We're going to come back to it momentarily. But that's the basis. So, am I then able to permit gelatin based on Rabbi Shimon and the Ramah? So the Nuda Behuda says, of course not, on his fish bladder discussion. He says, of course not. Why? Because you can't skip the second part of the shach. The second part of the shach says, "Umikomakom nira de lechatchila in lasos kain." You're not supposed to do this lechatchila. So he says, "No, of course you can't do this." That's number one objection. I'm sorry. No, the Nota Biuda. That's objection number one. Objection number two, he says, is that the Nota Biuda is madura kadma. It's a madura. Kama, thank you. Madura Kama, the first edition, Yeredeya Chavav. So, that's objection number one. Objection number two, he says, is because you're talking about the wrong case. The Ramah is talking about a keva from an animal that you shechted. So it's a mutter entity in and of itself, and then you dry it out, so therefore it won't create a meat-milk mixture when you put milk in it, because the meat and the milk are not merging. Right, we talked about this already before. As opposed to the case that you want to give, you're using from a nevela. Or in his case, a non-kosher fish. If you're using something that comes from a nevela, then the Rambam may not say that. Maybe the Rambam doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon. Maybe it's only because the item here was itself. This stomach came from a kosher animal in the first place. Sorry? Because we would say that when you're dealing with meat and milk, and you didn't create a meat and milk mixture if the meat wasn't actually meat anymore, it was wood. It didn't inject anything into the mixture. I think you had a share with Rebaruch about this also. Say the nevela is like wood. No, but the nevela is itself usser. It already was usser. Usser things. He's saying usser things don't become mutter because they're no longer that edible. It's just that here it didn't become a meat and milk mixture because the meat didn't enter the equation. That's a different way to look at it. So the Nota Biuda says, I don't think the Ramah is agreeing with you. I think the Ramah is not posking like Rabbi Shimon.
You guys take a bite out of the Malaysia. It's just that it's not a big deal.
Would you be called fleshik for what purpose?
Like,
since there's no mixture issue, would not call. Hey, there's not even called fleshik for it.
No, I say no.
It wouldn't matter.
It's still natural. It's meat. It's just not considered as mixing meat and milk.
No, it's all. It's still
yeah. Meaning, well, once you relegate it to a discrepancy in eating mushroom, we're still acknowledging that it is meat. We're just saying
yes.
Okay.
Meat with no ramifications. Yeah. That's correct. So the Nota Biuda says, no, you can't use this Ramah, he's off limits. However, a whole bunch of poskim thought that he didn't know what he was talking about on this issue, which is a strong statement, so maybe I take those words back. But they disagreed strongly. The Achiezer, first of all, says it's not so. The Achiezer says, first of all, as far as your shach that you quoted, where he says, lechatchila, you shouldn't do this, he says the shach wouldn't say this in our case. Because with our bones that we use for gelatin, the bones are fully dried. That's number one. Number two, he says, Rabbi Akiva Eger, and that's what's quoted. Hang on one second, I changed one thing in my notes. Rabbi Akiva Eger, that we, in the Piskei Tshuva that you see there on the sheet, says that where there are shishim, you can do it, you may do it, lechatchila. It's the Piskei Tshuva in Source Chav Beis. When we say mutter in the Ramah, he says, I ain't shach to the chatchila in lasos kain. See the shach who says you shouldn't do this. V'ayim b'chus v'kiva eger, simen reish zayin, dezet dafka hechat alaka shishim. Avo b'ika shishim, v'lekach shash rak mitin, eim v'al anisu lechatchila, then mutter lahamid bo lechatchila. Because you can do it as long as you have the shishim. Because then there's no issue of eimavah. In other words, the shach's concern was eimavah lenis lechatchila of some kind. And he says, it's not relevant. We were already at shishim anyway. It's already bought. So therefore, he says that the Noda Yehuda would not have his objection. The shach, I'm sorry, would not have his objection in this case. The Haaretz Tzvi, Tzvi Pesach Frank, in Yerodei Pei Gimel, dealt with a case of ice cream made with gelatin. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says that if it's nifsal me'achilas adam, then I can draw on this Rama. And he is not concerned with the Shach, and he's not concerned with what the Noda Yehuda raised yet. He will be soon, but not yet. Yes?
In our case, don't we have to go back to the last year in terms of the Raman if it's possible or not? Because if it's all the end that, oh, there's going to be people anyways, then it's mutter.
They ask, can it be in fact be bought though? Yes.
So they have to assume that they get.
Yes, that's correct. You have to assume that you get a ruling you want on a Mamet issue. Okay. The Rav Avadya also weighs in on the side of saying that you can do this, rely on this Rama. If you take a look on your sheet, I think I brought you the Shibalei Aleket. I brought you Rav Avadya bringing you the Shibalei Aleket in Source Chav Gimel. It was a lot easier than finding the Shibalei Aleket. The Vahu b'Shibalei Aleket Chelik Beis .. V'had Isnan She'ein Ma'amidin Bo'or Kevas Nevela. The Shibalei Aleket says, when we say in the Mishnah that you're not supposed to put milk into the hide from the keva from this Nevela, Hasam Hayutayma Mishum Sha'agoyim Ochle Nevelos. He says the reason there is because the non-Jews eat the Nevela, Ve'ein Le'yavshim Es Or HaKeva. They're not going to dry out the keva to the extent that you need it to be dried out. They simply fill it with milk. Like it says, you're going to be fine as far as this one because there was a technicality there. It's not a problem. That's his idea. Now, what about the Noda Yehuda's other objection? The objection that the Ramah is talking about a shchuta. Right? He's not talking about a nevela. So, what am I going to do with that? So, I'm trying to figure out how far to go with this. It's 11:25, and I have a conference call that I'm going to need to get on. I'm not going to rush it. It's a bad idea to rush it. So, we'll pick up with this, God willing, next time. It'll require that we do a little chazara just to remember where we are, but I think overall that's a better way to proceed. So, next time we will continue with this Noda Yehuda's second objection. We'll also go back to the hides question, because this may work for bones. But what are we going to do with hides? And then get into the third issue, which is also fascinating, that gelatin may be considered what we call a davar chadash, a brand new entity. Which is not the same thing as saying it was nifsal me'achilas adam, but the idea that something can become brand new and therefore be considered mutter. But we'll get to that as well.